Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Social distancing may protect us from the novel coronavirus, but it's also doing a number on our mental health. Since about mid-February, a growing number of Americans are self-identifying with severe anxiety. Mental Health of America of Ohio reports the increase at about 3 percentage points over the normal rate. And severe anxiety is the kind that frequently requires medical attention. Almost anyone who's isolated at work or homebound is grappling with at least some level of stress or anxiety. And we typically relieve that with workout at the gym or a trip to the theater, maybe a hockey game, some March Madness, but that's not happening. Lori Chris is the director of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. Her agency oversees hundreds of community-based mental health and addiction service agencies, 6 psychiatric hospitals, and dozens of alcohol and drug addiction and mental health boards. Welcome to the show, Lori Chris.
Thank you.
What are you hearing about the impact of the pandemic on Ohioans?
Well, you know, the conversation that you had with Mental Health America is similar to what we're hearing as well. Generally, in times of stress, people's feelings of anxiety are increasing, and they're looking for ways to feel more in control of what's happening to them. So we're hearing that, certainly. And also, spending a lot of time working with our community partners to make sure that people who are already connected to care for mental health and substance use disorders, problem gambling, can continue in that care and make sure that they know what the options are so that they don't disconnect for those things they're already getting help with.
Is this kind of an experience? It seems sort of like it's rolling out kind of slowly. It's slowed a lot of us down. We're not going out and doing this and that. It's a different kind of stress than we're usually facing, which is sort of that frantic, got to get everything done at the same time.
Right. You know, all of us deal with stress every day, and we have our normal coping mechanisms. I think what is different about this is that our normal coping mechanisms may not be available to us or not in the way that we're used to experiencing them. So while we may not be able to go to the gym, if you're a person that does that, there are still other ways that we can exercise and move our bodies to help deal with that physical stress and get rid of some of that extra energy. If we're used to hanging out with friends at a restaurant, we can still connect with them through phone calls, social media, going outside and, you know, gathering in different ways than we have before. So it's just a matter of taking what we know and thinking about how to do it differently and then doing that, taking action.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Today we're talking about the mental health issues related to the pandemic. My guest right now, Lori Chris, she's director of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. If you have a question or comment for her, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And listeners, I'd really like to hear from you about how you're coping. What are you changing up to address your anxieties and the stress? How are you trying to make this work for yourself? It might help somebody else. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. The loss of structure and routine is hard for a lot of people, right, Lori Chris?
Absolutely. We all rely on that to really help ourselves feel normal and to help our families feel normal and structured as well. So it's not just about all of us individually. It's about the folks that are in our household, the kids that we're parenting, the parents that we're supporting. It's important to remember that this is temporary and to build a new and temporary normal. And if we think about it, this is what we do on snow days, on winter and spring and summer breaks. Our normal routine is disrupted, and we have to build a new normal for a short period of time. We know how to do this. We do hard things all the time. And so it's really just kind of digging deep and looking at other times that we've had to build new and temporary routines and just repeating those.
I've kind of smiled a few times when I see, you know, 10 ways to cope with your kids at home kind of things that you see popping up and how, you know, any of us among us who are parents, you know, think, you know, we know what we're doing. But this is a really big difference in our lifestyle, particularly for people with young kids. But I'm wondering about the children themselves and what we might be wanting to look for on that score.
Absolutely. I think, you know, kids read our energy and they feel our emotions. So it's important to be informing them of what's happening and saying it in a way that they can understand, that they can also feel in control of the situation and that they're contributing to a healthy environment for the home, knowing that they can be in control by helping to wash hands when they get home, before they eat, every time they use the restroom, things that they would normally do. And the other thing that I find helpful as a parent is, even in times of stress, remembering to use manners, saying please and thank you and having them do that as well. It just helps keep a less stressful tone. And it's harder to yell or lose my temper if I'm starting a sentence with the word please and ending it with thank you. So it helps, generally speaking, in relationships.
Are you working from home?
I am, well, I mean, several hours a day in the evenings at night.
Of course, right.
At home.
You're always working, right.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm in the office today, and most of our folks are working from home, though, those that can.
You know, you mentioned that we need to make sure that people who are already connected to mental health professionals, people who are getting counseling of some type, you know, they're working with psychiatrists on medications or that thing, we need to work on keeping them connected. What are the resources, though, out there in reality? I mean, there's always a shortage. It's always hard to find somebody for counseling. It's always a challenge. How are counselors and social workers adapting?
Yeah, so there's a lot that we're doing with our local community partners. The state has been, we at the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, other state agencies, but we've been connecting with providers, with the local alcohol, drug, and mental health boards to learn what's happening on the ground, what needs they have, and to best support those at the state level. So I would encourage folks to reach out to the Adam H. boards. They have a good understanding of what services are in operation and where people can connect for help. There is, many of them offer hotlines and they'll have those on their website. So from a local perspective, there's access to care. At the state, we are supporting providers and local communities in building out telehealth options so people don't have to leave their homes to go to care. They can stay where they are, and the workforce can stay where they need to be safe and be physically distancing, but they can still connect through phone calls, through audio, visual, FaceTime, kinds of Skype, kinds of counseling opportunities. So there's a lot that we're able to do, and probably we're able to reach a lot more people because of the telehealth options than we would be normally.
Iris in North Linden, you're on the air with Lori Chris, director of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. Hi, Iris.
Hi. I want to thank
Iris, could you do me a favor and pull that phone away from your mouth?
Is this better?
It's a little bit better, but there is static.
Okay. I'd like to thank Lori for what she said on Saturday's presser with the governor. It was important to hear that.
What did she say that you thought was important?
That services were available. Here's the numbers.
Okay.
People are going to be stressed. Those kind of things are important.
Okay.
But my comment today is about transferring obsession. Like wine mommies are suddenly online shopping or making and eating lots of carb-rich food. It's really easy to transfer an obsession when you can't do your main maladaptive behavior.
Okay. Lori,
and that's
your comment. Yeah, Lori, Chris, what about that? Something people should be looking for in their own behavior?
Yeah, I mean, there are healthy ways to cope and unhealthy ways to cope. And, you know, I always hear my grandma's voice saying everything in moderation. And, you know, so recognizing in ourselves when maybe we're connected one kind of activity too much, whether it's watching the media, eating, you know, using alcohol, tobacco, or other drugs. If we're doing anything in a way that is more than normal for us or more than what your doctor would say is healthy, then that's a moment to step back and look at what other coping mechanisms you have, what other grit you have, how you can dig down and find other ways to feel more in control. That's also a time where you can ask an expert for help. Call one of the hotlines that we have on our website. Our website is mha.ohio.gov. We have a coronavirus page. We have hotlines for and helplines for lots of different kinds of things. Just click on it and you can get help. And it's just, you know, talking through. I think one of the good things that's happening right now is that people are acknowledging the stress. Mental health can be one of those things that culturally we don't want to talk about, but we're all experiencing it every day. And so this is a good time for us to start really thinking about it and reaching out.
Are you getting more calls?
Our call volume has been about the same. We know that the ODH hotline is seeing an increase in number of calls about mental health.
Okay.
And not just the public health questions. And so we're cross-training with them. They're connecting to our team. We're extending our hours starting today so that more people can connect to us during the same time that they're connecting to the Department of Health.
We are going to post links to all of the organizations that, including the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. We'll post a link to the National Alliance on Mental Health, Mental Illness, and also to the Mental Health of America of Ohio as well. So if you want to just check out WOSU.org/allsides, you can get all of those links. Social workers are often the link between older people in nursing homes and maybe people who live alone. What are they reporting? Because a lot of times older people, they don't have the kind of computer access that the rest of us take for granted, for starters.
That's absolutely right. You know, we've been encouraging people to get a little old-fashioned, reach out to neighbors, leave notes on doors to check on each other, and those sorts of things. But the telehealth options that we have available can use landlines or cell phones. They don't require anyone to have or to know how to use any special technology. It's a real back-to-basics kind of opportunity here. And so older adults can use their phone and call in and talk to a counselor and reach out for help.
We are going to take a quick break. My guest, Lori Chris, director of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, will stay with us. If you have questions or comments, and listeners, I'm really interested in hearing maybe some of your great ideas for coping with the stress and anxiety while we all grapple with the pandemic these days. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And if you have a question for any of our guests, you're also welcome to give us a call or email. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Social distancing may protect many of us from the novel coronavirus, but it also can do a number on our mental health. Still with us, Lori Chris. She's director of the Ohio Department of Mental Illness and Addiction Services. Terry Russell is the executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thank you, Ann.
I should say National Alliance on Mental Illness, Ohio. Terry, what are you hearing from the folks that you serve there?
We're hearing every day that the stress and the anxiety and the fear, all the emotions around this, are taking their toll on families and those living every day with mental illness. But at the other side, they're also feeling that these anxieties will fade as things get better. There is going to be a cloud there at some point where we'll see things going better. But they are very concerned, and we're trying to give them as much information to get help as we can do. We really have some very hot pockets we're concerned about. Kids, as it relates to mental health, and especially those that are in group homes or in residential facilities, and also group homes for adults, they're having a hard time, and they're all very at high risk because of their co-occurring illnesses, and they're having a real hard time finding cleaning supplies, toilet paper, and other things. And so we're really working almost every minute trying to find places to buy these and get them distributed as fast as we can.
If people want to help you out with that, where can they bring stuff?
Sure, they can come. They can get online at NAMIOhio.org and go to our donations, and if they want to go through PayPal, they could give money. 100% of everything that's donated through this crisis is going to go to the cleaning supplies and other supplies that they need to keep these people safe. They can also drop anything off in the lobby of 1225 Grandview Avenue here in Columbus, near Grandview, right
okay.
on the bottom.
We'll have a link to your website on our website so that people can get all that, you know, the address and everything. Just check out WOSU.org/allsides and check that out. You know, I wanted you and Lori Chris to talk about the issue of isolation. Terry, I know you work a lot to make people feel connected, to make families, loved ones of people who grapple with mental illness, to make them feel connected, like they're not alone. And Terry, what, you know, this is kind of the antithesis of really what a lot of folks need right now.
Absolutely. We need for families and friends to make sure there's connection with these people who have these debilitating illnesses. And we need to start, make sure that you call once a day to somebody you know that may be alone or someone who has an illness, at least call once a day. And so they feel that they have somebody there for them. Tell them what they're doing. Some people aren't following some of the procedures that they should be, especially some of our elderly clients. They really need to be connected with anybody, and volunteers, we have our affiliates all over the state calling people every day or every minute, trying to let them know we're there. We're going to get through this, and it will lessen the likelihood that they have some crisis. But they also, if they are in crisis, it's so important for them to know what to do. They can call their mental health agency. They can call their health department and get all the information they need, because because of Lori Chris, by the way, God bless her for getting past that they can call on phones. Therapists can talk to their clients right on phones. We need to do that. We need to have a contact between the therapist and the person they've been working with for whatever period of time. So anything we can do, everybody, talk to people, call them. Don't come in contact with them, mm-hmm. but call them. And you just don't think about it. Call your family. Call anybody. That's mm-hmm. all I can say. Just mm-hmm. call.
Yeah, Lori Chris, you know, Terry Russell brought up an important issue that I hadn't thought about, and that's the group homes and how isolating that can be and the things that they need.
Absolutely. Hi, Terry. You know, one of the great things about our system is that we really do have a good network at the local level and a really strong connection between state government and philanthropy with the local levels, too. And so what Terry's talking about in terms of connecting with these folks in local communities is so important. Dropping supplies off. A lot of us have more than we need for right now. We know that grocery stores are staying open. Sharing with neighbors, making those supplies available to the local NAMIs so they can get them out to the folks living in group homes, or just even folks who don't have the resources to have purchased in, you know, larger supplies. Initially, the Adam H. boards, the NAMIs, provider organizations really could rely on those things and building that local connection. The other thing Terry talked about was the importance of connecting with people, the helping make sure people know that they are not alone. So even though we're physically distancing from ourselves, none of us are alone. And if people are trying to remedy that by keeping the TV on all day so they have company, you know, limiting that exposure to media, interrupting that with a phone call or a kindness like dropping cookies off on someone's porch or, you know, putting a, you know, cleaning supplies, that sort of thing. Really, really important. I know that I talk to my parents and my aunts and uncles every day, but they're 2.5 hours away. So I'm really grateful that our childhood friends are also calling them. And so, you know, kind of extend ourselves beyond maybe what we normally do. We're slowing down, like you said earlier, Anne. So we've got a little extra time to reach out in ways that maybe we don't normally take advantage of. And it's all of our personal responsibility to do this. It's our civic responsibility to do this.
Pam in Columbus, you're on the air with Lori Chris. She's director of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. And also Terry Russell, he's executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Health of Ohio. Welcome to the show, Pam.
Thank you. And thank you for doing this important topic.
Sure.
So what I've been doing, because I'm one of the people with underlying conditions and who's older and staying in, I've been posting on Facebook different ideas I have for activities to do and asking other people to suggest back. So today I said, tonight I'm going to have a dinner party with just me and my husband, but I'm going to get out the tablecloths, candles, the goblets and everything and do a whole dinner party thing. It's going to take me all day to do that. And I'm also have suggested baking bread, or maybe we could all clean out closets and donate a lot of things. And then I'm asking people to respond, what are you doing today? So I'm trying to create alternative activities for my friends on Facebook who I know are complaining about being alone and how long is this going to last. And I thought maybe this could add something to their lives.
Yeah, I've noticed that on Facebook a lot, that people are reaching out. And I know that there's groups coalescing now on social media to bring entertainment as well. We heard a story earlier on NPR about a bar in Austin that can't be open to the public but can produce online productions of local bands and that kind of a thing, that they're doing that and asking people to donate. I think it's through PayPal or something like that, but just feeling like they're part of something. You know, Lori, Chris, I mean, this must have been a heck of a lot harder in, you know, during the pandemic of 1918 and the Spanish flu, because you were really isolated back then. We've got social media now.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we have built communities together in new ways because of technology, and now's the time to use those for good. I love the idea of sharing what you're doing at home through social media, positive things. The idea of doing something special that maybe we only reserve for holidays, special foods that are recipes handed down, things like that, kind of bringing those out and bringing them into this time are really important. I would also say that, you know, we talked about how older adults can connect to telehealth through landlines. We also have media options for younger folks who are used to technology. We have a crisis text line, text 4HOPE, the number 4 and the word HOPE, to 741741, so that young people can get support through texting. So there's lots of great opportunities to build community through technology.
Pam, and, yeah, go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, I just want to let all the listeners understand also, we should avoid excess exposure to the media coverage on the virus. That gets to all of us. And people who are getting anxious, it just makes you more anxious because you hear 100 different things. People should try to look at some of the fun things that you can watch on TV, good funny movies or net something else other than just this media. The other thing is I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that there are people out there experience the form of anxiety and depression that sometimes talks about suicide or thinks about suicide. And everybody on this line should know the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. And the number there is 1-800-273-8255. I just think it's important that when people are isolated, they get anxious, more depressed, and some of the people that we represent, some of the families know that these illnesses can really create crisis for people. And it just takes that little time to say, let's call this hotline and talk to people.
That number is 800-273-8255, and we'll post it on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. It's something good to share on social media. Pam, thanks for that call. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And Francis in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Francis.
Hi. I am a mental health patient and a very, very senior. So what I have been doing is planting that I'm going to do on my patio for this spring, and I'm figuring out what plants I want. I'm changing some things around on my patio, so I'm keeping myself occupied with planning for the future.
Right. I mean, it really, I've felt like it, because I'm not able to work out in my usual boot camp, and I found myself yesterday making a lot more elaborate dinner than I usually do, because I had an extra hour or so to do it, and I love to cook. I guess it's just doing what we love to do and just taking the time to do it. Even though I'm working full-time still, I still have more time.
That caller, the resiliency there is what we're talking about. I received a call from the other day from a mother who said for 30 years she's been dealing with her loved one's mental illness, and she's done it alone. With all the help on this crisis, we should be stronger. She says, I feel stronger because I've dealt with this for so long that I have dealt with crisis, and now I'm getting help. So I do think resilience, people are resilient, and they will, to get to the other side of this.
Right.
Well, Terry, I think, you know, you bring up a good point that there are a lot of people who are experiencing this stress on top of stress that they normally live with as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so having these resources available, not just in this time of crisis, but this is what the mental health and addiction treatment and prevention and recovery system does all day, every day. These are opportunities that always exist. And so maybe the virus crisis isn't what's causing your stress right now, but maybe it's something else. And we still want everyone to reach out to these resources.
Francis, thanks for that call. And I'm going to turn to Sarah because it seems like it's a good time to do that. Sarah, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Sarah in Dayton, right. Yeah, hi. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm in Dayton. Yeah, I have a question because I'm actually a mental health professional myself, and it's a very stressful time for us as well. And I just want to know, what are we doing to take care of our folks, our mental health workers?
Lori, Chris?
Yeah, so we have different initiatives at the department around trauma-informed care, and there are, it's called trauma-informed communities. We have several throughout the state that really focus on helping deal with secondary trauma and dealing with the stress of supporting other people. Our webpage, mha.ohio.gov, has resources on trauma-informed care and how to support healthcare workers. So many of you are friends and family of people who are working in the healthcare and behavioral healthcare field. There's tips and advice on there for what you can do to be supportive of them as well.
I also think that the governor and Lori have implemented processes where you don't have to be face-to-face to put yourself in harm's way, that you can do through telemedicine, through phone calls. That was really to protect many of the people out there in the field so that we didn't have people coming in and out of our facilities.
Thank you, Sarah, for that call. It was a great question. What about people in rural communities, Lori, Chris? Again, it's a kind of exacerbating already sometimes a sense of isolation, particularly when it comes to social media and that kind of a thing because of the broadband access problems.
Right. So, you know, we have Adam H boards. There's 50 of them in the state of Ohio. They serve every county in the state of Ohio, rural, Appalachian, metropolitan, suburban areas. And we have providers in all of these communities as well. And you know, like Terry's organization exists in full coverage of the state and others as well. And so those local networks are really built to respond to what's happening. We're also partnering with other parts of the system, the education system. You're looking at how school districts are making sure that food is available to all of the students. We just saw an email out of Wayne Holmes County, which is a very rural part of the state, where they know transportation is a challenge. So the school buses are actually taking the food to drop-off spots. The mental health and counselors and prevention folks in those schools are connected to share resources back to the families as well. So we're really really focusing on that. And that's one of the reasons that we're filing emergency rules and working with the federal government around the ability to use landlines for telehealth as well, because we know there are just parts of Ohio that wouldn't be able to participate if it relied on cellular service and broadband.
What about the issue of finances? A lot of people are struggling with that. And I know that they're talking about sending everybody a check and that kind of a thing, but it still feels like there's just a lot of insecurity out there. Have you noticed an issue regarding that, Terry Russell?
Absolutely. I think everybody, that's a very big reason that some of these adult care facilities for both kids and adults are having difficulty, because they don't have resources. We have to relook at this when this is all over to see what kind of resources we provide these individuals that run these homes. But I do think that the government can do what they can do, and it's really surprising me we're doing so much because it's such new. Everything's new. We're starting from day one. Maybe we should have planned earlier. I don't know. But I do think people should understand that there's going to be rules that are relaxed to the point that you're going to make it through financially as well as with your mental health.
We are going to continue our conversation. That's Terry Russell. He's Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Ohio. And also with us, Lori Chris. She's Director of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. We would like to hear from our listeners about what you think might help. If you have any questions, you're certainly welcome to ask those. But I'm also interested in hearing about the different ways people are coping with the isolation, maybe the anxiety, and maybe the depression surrounding all of this. So give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I guess, Terry Russell, I have to say goodbye to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Appreciate it, Ann. Thanks for having us.
We will be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. COVID-19 is upending our schedules and routines. It's shutting down our favorite hangouts, but it doesn't have to take our mental health with it, too. Believe it or not, experiencing stress and negative emotions can lead to positive consequences. Studies show that people who go through a very difficult life experience can emerge from it with a stronger sense of psychological resilience. We were talking about that earlier. The question today is how to get there. All right, still with us, Lori Chris. She's director of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. Joining us is Kenton Beachy. He is the executive director of Mental Health America of Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ann. Appreciate being able to join the conversation. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Ken, your website has a mental health screening feature. Is that something you're expecting people to use at this time?
Yes, it's available at our website at Get Help Online Screenings. And our Ohio data gets fed to the national level. And what we're finding is that overall, and we're still looking for Ohio-specific information, but overall, the taking of the screening on anxiety has picked up, and those people who are registering a severe level of anxiety has increased just since the COVID-19.
I think that would be helpful. I mean, I was going to ask earlier, and I will now. Sometimes people don't even realize what's happening to them, right?
Yeah, certainly. You're talking about the anxiety that they feel.
Yeah, they don't know that's what it is.
Well, I think a large part of it is we're just wired as human beings to want certainty. And so when these times are so uncertain, then people start exhibiting classic symptoms of anxiety, and they may or may not recognize it. And for those who are already prone to anxious thoughts, then it can be even worse for them.
I was listening to a report somewhere now. I mean, I'm probably one of those people that's over-listening to stuff, but it was someone from a hospital saying one of their biggest problems is healthy worriers, people who are worrying themselves into the emergency rooms. Lori, Chris, have you heard about that?
I haven't heard about that specifically, but people who are experiencing anxiety are, and in extreme forms, are really unable to turn off the negative thoughts they're having or the obsession with a number of different scenarios that could play out next, and they're trying to feel in control and make plans for each of those scenarios. And when a person's unable to turn that off, then in fact, that is a time that they need to reach out for help. If that lasts, you know, hours or days, they should definitely be reaching out to the resources you're making available through your website, that's on our website, and Ken's, and as well, to get help.
Ken, your organization can connect people with free mental health services. How does that work?
We have a pro bono counseling program that links licensed professional counselors who are willing to volunteer their time for people who can't afford counseling. They may be uninsured altogether or not have adequate insurance to cover it. So we have about 70 or 75 volunteer counselors just here in Franklin County. They can go on our website and find the number to call to our pro bono counseling program.
Mm-hmm.
We do an initial screening and then get them linked with that counseling.
Let's see. Aaron and Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Aaron.
Hello. I actually have Bonnie Berman with me as well, who's the head of the Ohio Council for Cognitive Health.
Uh-huh.
My name is Aaron Spring, and I'm with the Ohio Creative Arts Telehealth. We just formed this in the last few days to support the mental health needs of our elder citizens who are quarantining in facilities in their rooms as well as in their homes. So we just want to let folks know about this service. It's new. And I'll let Bonnie chime in as well.
Okay, Bonnie, how can people get to it?
Well, Aaron's going to handle that, but what I want to let you know is that, as you know, Anne, music really matters to folks, and it is a therapeutic intervention. And we have licensed music therapists in our state, and they are able to actually not just provide a session in a HIPAA-approved way through a HIPAA-approved platform, but now we are able to actually provide the clinical notes and everything else and do assessments and analysis and feedback this way. So it is incredibly exciting for both organizations and individuals. And Aaron will give you the details. And I've got to tell you, the music therapists in our community started working on this last week, and this has been 24/7 because they are so convinced that we have something and they have something to offer. So you'll be blown away. Okay, Erin.
Okay.
The web address is OCATServices, OCATServices.org. And you can go there and you can request services. And we have a network of art and music therapists who are trained and certified to be able to provide services. And it's not just to vulnerable individuals who are elderly, but we're working with all ages who are isolated due to severe mental, both physical and health conditions.
And
we're there to support caregivers and staff as well.
Let me just double check. It's OCAT Services, or is it OCAT.services?
It's OCAT Services,
okay.
All one.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we'll get that on our website, OCATSERVICES.org. We'll get that on our website for everybody else. And Erin, and Bonnie, thank you so much for calling in and telling us about this.
And just so people know, if somebody can't afford these services, we are working towards finding ways to help them.
Okay, great. And you'll help them when they call in?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. Erin and Bonnie, thanks again.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Well, I just wanted to add that telehealth is really going to be an important resource for providers in being able to have a continuity of services with the people they're already seeing and bringing any new people into the system. So just locally here in Franklin County, the Alcohol, Drug, and Mental Health Board is allowing telehealth service billing. So that's a very helpful thing for our providers here. And then at the federal level, the administration just announced that telehealth benefits are going to be expanded to Medicare recipients during the COVID-19 outbreak. They used to be more restricted, but now, so if there are older adults out there who are, feeling anxious or are needing services, they can have things like common office visits, mental health counseling, and preventive health screenings all through telehealth now and covered by Medicare.
I'm going to turn to Sue in Columbus. You're a mental health care provider. You were saying that insurance doesn't pay for phone sessions. Is this responding to your issue?
I've been notified by...
I can't hear you, Sue.
I'm sorry. Is that any better?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. I've only heard from one insurance company that I'm paneled with that they will cover telephone calls. The board, our board, the counselor board, and the American Psychological Association are telling us that that's what we should be doing. But I think the insurance companies are putting us in harm's way because we can't make a living because they won't pay for services. The other issue is that workers' compensation pays for telephone services, but they only reimburse at one quarter of the rate that they usually reimburse at. And that's totally absurd. It's just a slap in the face.
Lori, Chris, are these issues you're hearing from? I know workers' comp isn't your wheelhouse, but just in general?
Well, one of the things that we've hoped to do is provide the example and leadership to demonstrate that Medicaid will cover telehealth services, including phone calls. And so, Medicare also announcing that yesterday, and the Office of Civil Rights, federal, indicating that they would pursue HIPAA-related claims related to telehealth in this crisis. Those are good symbols to the insurance industry.
Signals, sending messages to them to get with it. Sue, thanks for that call. We appreciate it. I am going to turn now to Nancy
in Granville.
You're on the air. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, just wanted to share that I've really enjoyed the time with my granddaughter. We've gone for really long walks, and we've talked a lot more than we typically do. Her father lives with us, and he struggles with addiction, and so far so good. I mean, it's kind of an isolating situation anyway, living with someone who struggles with addiction. So in a way, it feels like a normal that has been existing,
This sounds like that resilience that we were talking about earlier, Lori, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Another word for resilience is grit. Really thinking about digging deep and finding those resources internally that help all of us believe in ourselves and do hard things.
Nancy, thank you so much for that call, and continue to enjoy that precious time with your granddaughter. Philip in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Philip. You have a question?
Hi, yes. I have been looking for some type of platform for kids who are at home to connect with the elders in aged care facilities, like as an activity maybe. Anything like that would be really useful at this point.
You're saying to connect with older people in the nursing homes, that thing?
Yeah, try to mitigate some of the isolation factors going on.
Lori, Chris?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I hadn't actually heard anyone say or thought about that myself. I would encourage listeners to reach out to local nursing homes, see if they still have volunteer opportunities that aren't in person but are good ways to support folks. And the area agencies on aging are aware of families that need that kind of connection, older adults that need that kind of connection. So there's a lot of good local resources. I'll talk to Director McElroy about that, too, and see if there's anything we can help promote at the state level.
Yeah, that reminds me, tomorrow I think we're dedicating an hour to this huge group of young people that have been unleashed from colleges and universities and high schools. A lot of energy there. There's probably all kinds of things they could be doing to feel like they're being part of something and helping. Philip, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, and, you know, and I want to add in on that. You know, kids, as much as we think that they like time out of school, school is their community.
Yeah.
And that's where they connect to their friends, their teachers, and they participate in their purpose each day. And so helping them find other ways to be purposeful and build a new sense of community is a really good thing that all of us should be thinking about in our neighborhoods, in our homes, in our school districts, and that we're thinking about at the state level, too.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about that tomorrow. But in the meantime, Philip, I hope you'll listen tomorrow. Maybe some ideas will pop up. Thank you for that. And one more quick call from Susie in Columbus. Hi, Susie. We're running out of time, but tell us your idea.
Well, I found that this is a time where I can be more creative. And as a senior, I love to read and make books, and so I decided I would create a Shutterfly book that talks about the research, what is coronavirus, how did it start, how have I worked my mind into this process to where we are today, and what am I doing? So this would be something I can pass on to my grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one thing. I'm also thinking of writing notes or cards. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love to get regular mail, real mail. And so I thought, what a neat time to do this. I love to explore in the woods. I've made it a point to take at least 2 walks a day. And with my grandkids, I have one that's in school. He's 12 or 13. And I thought, he's a smart kid. I'm going to ask him a tough question every day. And then get back to him the next day and see what he has found out about it.
Susie, thank you so much for that call. Oh, that is that's a lot of great ideas right there. I love the idea of kind of chronicling this for the generations to come, too. Lori, Chris, I want to thank you so much for devoting an entire hour to our show today. It's much appreciated.
Absolutely. There's nothing more important right now. Thank you.
Lori Chris, Director of the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, and Ken Beachy, Executive Director of Mental Health America of Ohio. Thank you so much for your time as well.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
And thanks, everybody, for calling in. Thanks for your ideas. You know, you can go on to Facebook page and post more ideas there at All Sides with Ann Fisher. In the meantime, take care. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.